7, Section 4, Fighting and Freedom Come to Alabama. As you read, look for the battles fought on land and sea in Alabama, the promise of freedom for slaves, terms, skirmish, fleet, cadet. There were 78 skirmishes, brief fights, in Alabama during the Civil War. The first fighting in the state was in the Tennessee Valley in 1862. The towns of Florence, Huntsville, and Athens had all been fired on by June of that year. The beginning of the next year brought an official granting of freedom to slaves. Emancipation Proclamation. On January 1, 1863, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This act freed the slaves in the Confederacy. The slaves that were in the border states were still held in slavery. As president, Lincoln had the right to free the slaves in Confederate states. He could do this because those states were at war with the Union. By law, he could not free slaves in the slave-holding border states. This was because those states did not secede. Lincoln also asked slaves willing to fight to do so for the Union Army. The slaves in the Confederacy were legally free, but they were still held as slaves. Colonel Streight's reign. The South did not have many railroads. Union soldiers knew that each railroad destroyed would hurt the South. In spring 1863, Colonel A.D. Streight made a daring Union raid in North Alabama. Colonel Streight planned to cut the railroad at Rome, Georgia. On his way, he planned to destroy any ironworks and military supplies he found. There were Alabama soldiers in the Union Army who knew their way around the state. This made Streight's plan easier. The Union colonel also had 1,500 soldiers and all the supplies he needed. Because of the rough mountain trails, Streight chose mules rather than horses for his men to ride. It was not a wise choice. The mules were slower than horses and harder to handle. The Confederates fight back. Colonel Streight soon learned that General Nathan Bedford Forrest was following him. Forrest was the leader of the Confederate cavalry, soldiers mounted on horses. His soldiers, called the Critter Company, were fast riders. Forrest was called the Wizard of the Saddle because he rode so well. General Forrest liked to say he could win if he got there first with the most men. Forrest had only 600 men when chasing Streight, but the general was clever. He tracked the Union soldiers across North Alabama. At several points in the chase, he caught up with them, and they had quick skirmishes. Streight kept pushing his tired men toward Rome. With Forrest only 16 miles behind him, Streight entered the Coosa River Valley. Streight ordered his Union troops to burn the bridge over Black Creek west of Gadsden. The plan was to keep Forrest's men from following the Union soldiers. Emma Sansom, young heroine. When Forrest and his troops galloped up to the creek, the bridge was already in flames. The general whirled his horse around and rode to a nearby house. He asked if anyone knew a way to get across the creek. 15-year-old Emma Sansom offered to show Forrest a place where the creek was not deep. General Forrest reached down and pulled Emma up behind him. She guided him to a place where his troops could cross. As Forrest and Emma got off the horse, Union soldiers on the other side of the creek began firing. One bullet went through Emma's long skirt. She waved her bonnet at the Union soldiers, and they stopped shooting. Forrest led his men across the creek. Soon they were close behind Streight and his soldiers. The Civil War's Paul Revere. Once again, Colonel Streight put his hopes for escape on burning a bridge. Strait planned for his troops to cross the river just outside Rome, Georgia. He would then set fire to the bridge. He thought that would give him time to attack Rome and destroy the town's railroad and supplies. A man named John H. Wisdom spoiled that plan. Wisdom was a postman who lived in Gadsden, 67 miles from Rome. He had seen the Union soldiers and guessed Strait's plan. He hurried to warn the people in Rome that troops were on the way. Wisdom began his ride at 3:30 in the afternoon. Near midnight, he dashed across the bridge outside Rome and rode through the streets shouting, "The Yankees are coming." Citizens make a stand. Wisdom's alarm cries woke the sleeping citizens. They moved quickly and blocked the bridge with bales of cotton. Two cannons were placed pointing over the cotton. The people gathered guns and other weapons. On their way to Rome, Strait and his men went through Cherokee County. There they destroyed the Round Mountain smelting furnace. The first of the Union soldiers arrived in Rome long after midnight. They rode up to the bridge. The men found the bridge blocked and guns aimed at them. They heard the voices of many people moving about the town. The soldiers did not even try to take the bridge. They hurried back to tell Colonel Strait that a large group of Confederate soldiers was in Rome. About this time, Forrest caught up with Strait and a battle began. Forrest's men tricked the enemy by moving their two cannons from place to place. Colonel Strait thought the Confederates had at least 15 cannons. General Forrest also had his soldiers march around and around a small hill. Strait thought Forrest had a big army. When Colonel Strait and his 1,466 men surrendered, he was surprised at what he found. General Forrest had fewer than 600 soldiers and had only two cannons. As prisoners, Strait's men went to Richmond over the railroad they had hoped to destroy. Rousseau's Raid. Union and Confederate soldiers fought back and forth over Decatur. All of this fighting caused a lot of damage to the town. Union troops, led by General Lovell H. Rousseau, finally gained control of Decatur in the summer of 1864. After the fall of Decatur, Rousseau led his 2,300 Union soldiers across the state. He destroyed ironworks in Calhoun and Talladega counties and railroads near Auburn and Opelika. Rousseau's raid made it harder for Confederates to support their troops. Battle for Mobile. Admiral David G. Farragut was in command of the Union Navy. On August 5, 1864, he sailed into Mobile Bay with a fleet, group of ships, of 18 ships. He planned to capture Fort Morgan and Fort Gaines and take charge of Mobile and the bay. Farragut's ship, the USS Hartford, and four other Union ships were ironclads. Admiral Franklin Buchanan, the Confederate commander, had only four ships. Three were built of wood. Only the CSS Tennessee was covered with iron. Farragut's ships started their run between Fort Morgan and Fort Gaines. The Confederates fired on them and sank the USS Tecumseh with a floating mine. But Farragut still had 17 ships in Mobile Bay to fight against Buchanan's four ships. It did not take long to put Buchanan's three small wooden ships out of action. Only the Tennessee was left to fight. The Tennessee fought hard, but its smokestacks and steering gear were shot away. The ship had no guns left that would shoot. When the Tennessee's commander was badly wounded, the ship raised the white flag. That meant they wanted to surrender. Fort Gaines also surrendered. Troops at Fort Morgan held out until supplies were gone and the fort was burned. On August 24, 1864, the Confederates put up the white flag. the Union began its attack on the city of Mobile in August of 1864. The city was well defended and held out for 8 months. In April 1865, the city surrendered to the Northern soldiers. While this was going on, fighting moved into central Alabama. General Wilson's Raid. By 1865, the Union's plan was to destroy anything that could help the Confederacy's war effort. The city of Selma was a Union target because of the shipyard and weapons factories. In March 1865, Union General James Harrison Wilson left Lauderdale County with 13,500 cavalry. On the way to Selma, he planned to destroy all of the military supplies and factories he could. By March 30th, Wilson's troops had reached the village of Ellerton, today's Birmingham. They destroyed the ironworks there. Wilson then sent General John T. Croxton with about 4,000 men to Tuscaloosa. Their mission was to destroy its factories and ironworks. They were also to burn the University of Alabama. It was a training center for Confederate cadets, young military students. The University of Alabama is burned. Croxton's men entered Tuscaloosa. They burned a hat factory and stopped a wedding to take the groom and male guest as prisoners. They also took the weapons of the university's cadets. On April 4th, Croxton's troops burned all but three university buildings. After the war, the U.S. Congress gave the University of Alabama public lands to pay for the damages. The battle for Selma is lost. While Croxton raided Tuscaloosa, General Wilson's Union soldiers marched to Montevallo. There they destroyed mines and ironworks before going on to Selma. Selma was one of the Confederacy's leading industrial centers. When General Wilson reached Selma on April 2, 1865, he had about 9,000 Union troops. General Forrest defended the city with about 3,000 men. Wilson's forces took over Selma. Forrest and a few of his men barely escaped. Wilson destroyed Selma's weapons and factories. After Selma surrendered, the Union troops burned homes. They stole food and anything else they wanted. They insulted women and killed people they thought might be hiding items of value. Then the soldiers set fire to 3/4 of the town's businesses. Wilson and his men left Selma badly damaged. Montgomery surrenders. Montgomery citizens heard what happened to Selma. The mayor surrendered his city on April 12, 1865, as soon as Wilson arrived. The general kept control over his troops, so there was not much looting. The biggest danger to Montgomery came from Confederate soldiers. They burned almost 100,000 bales of cotton to keep it out of Union hands. The fire got out of control, but finally the wind blew the flames away from the city. Wilson and his soldiers destroyed military supplies, factories, railroad cars, and steamboats. Montgomery, the cradle of the Confederacy, fell into Union hands exactly 4 years after the war began. The end of the war. General Robert E. Lee was commander of all Confederate forces. General Ulysses S. Grant was commander of the Union Army. Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia on April 9, 1865. Several battles were fought after the war ended because the news had not reached all soldiers. The last battle in Alabama took place on April 16, 1865. Over 600,000 Americans lost their lives in the Civil War. This number included around 360,000 Union troops. the Confederacy lost about 260,000 soldiers. More soldiers died in this war than in any other war the United States has ever fought. In June 1865, Alabama Bishop James O. Andrews of the Methodist Episcopal Church South wrote, quote, "We have maintained a long and bloody struggle. Our soldiers have fought bravely, although forced to submit to overwhelming numbers, yet we have lost no honor, our enemies being the judges. Now that our armies have been properly surrendered and our brave soldiers are returning to their much-loved homes, let us deport ourselves as quiet, peace-loving, peace-seeking citizens." End quote. Think it through. 1. What document announced freedom for slaves? 2. What did the Union soldiers try to destroy first? Why? 3. What did Straits men ride? 4. Who was the heroine who helped General Forrest? 5. What happened at Appomattox Courthouse on April 9, 1865? Chapter Review. The following is a summary of Chapter 7. The Blue, North, and the Gray, South, had many differences that caused them to go to war. The North, Union, had a much larger population. Many of those people worked in factories. Most of the South Confederacy's people lived on farms. Slavery was another important difference. Over one-third of Southerners were slaves. Alabama seceded from the Union and joined the Confederate States of America in 1861. Not all Alabamians wanted to leave the Union. Those who did not want to secede were called Unionists. Jefferson Davis's inauguration as President of the Confederacy was in Montgomery. That city is called the Cradle of the Confederacy. The Civil War began on April 12, 1861. A large number of Alabamians fought and died in the war. Almost everyone worked in one way or another for the war effort. There were 78 battles and skirmishes fought in Alabama. Union troops marched through the state, destroying farms, homes, animals, and industries. The only naval battle in Alabama was in Mobile Bay. In that battle, Admiral Farragut was the Union commander and Admiral Buchanan was the Confederate commander. After 17 Union ships put 4 Confederate ships out of action, they moved to attack Mobile. General Wilson's Union troops captured Montgomery. On April 9, 1865, Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant in Virginia. The Civil War was finally over.